Hi, and welcome back to the first episode of Sassy Single Mums in 2021. On today's episode, I'm going to be introducing my new co-host, Red. Do you want to say hello to the listeners?
Yes, thank you. I know I said that last one, a comment episode. I was like, thank you for having me. And now you're having me full time.
Yeah, exactly. So now you're like here to stay.
Here to stay, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on board and deciding to join me to run this crazy podcast. Why did you decide to join and be a part of Sassy Single Moms?
I mean, I had loads of fun like with our chat, and I do love podcasts. Like, I think they're wicked, and I love what you're doing with your platform. And yeah, I think it's just so great to have a space where we can all kind of chat and like talk
have
about
discussions.
Stuff and have these kind of discussions. So yeah, when you asked me, I was like, yes,
lovely.
I think I manifested it. Put it in the universe, put it in your head.
Well, I definitely received it. Okay, so whatever you put out there, it came to me, because back end of last year I was just thinking to myself, I want this to work, I want it to be good, but I know that doing it on my own as a single mother is just like additional. So I'm really, really glad that we get to do this together. I'm super excited.
Not that the podcast is a problem, but a problem shared is a problem half.
I love it. Is it a problem halved or a problem solved?
In an ideal world, problem solved, but if we're keeping it real, the problem's still there, but it's just involved.
I want to talk about the lockdown. I think mainly like some of the stuff that's going on in the news and stuff. We can have a little discussion about that. But how has the lockdown been for you? How was Tyke's birthday?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's interesting me and you having a conversation about it, because you're on another side of parents.
Yeah.
Equally as stressful, you're with a teen. So I'll be interested to hear about what your lockdown experience has been with your kind of teenage side.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's been a real journey. Like, the first part of the lockdown, I found so stressful. Like, mental health was on the edge a little bit.
Okay.
Do you
want to give like an example?
Yeah, so we didn't know what was going on, and Tyke's dad kind of said to me, because no one knew, it's like a fucking worldwide pandemic, everything's up in the air.
Yeah.
So his dad sort of said to me that he doesn't feel comfortable taking Tyke during this time until we figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, fine. So I really was like on my
own
Tyke. Obviously, Tyke is very boisterous.
Yeah.
He likes, we're very active together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we spend a lot of time going out to the park and going places. And also, Tyke at this moment is nonverbal.
Okay. So
he's got like a speech delay. We are looking into other things.
Okay.
Like, he's being tested for autism, other things like that.
Okay.
But obviously, with coronavirus, that's all been put on hold.
Yeah.
But his speech is getting loads better. But with him not really being able to vocalize things, it was hard for me to explain to him certain things was happening.
Yeah.
So he didn't really understand. So we'd go out on a walk and he'd see the park all closed up, and he'd like be really crying, like not understanding why I wasn't taking him in the park.
Exactly.
He loves other kids as well. Like, when he sees another kid, he's like, play.
Yeah,
my
he
friend.
Wants to play. He wants to get closer.
And I remember we went out on a walk and he saw this little girl, and he was like, oh yeah, I've got someone to play with.
Yeah.
And he ran over to her, and she was like, coronavirus.
No way.
Yeah, she was a little bit older than him. She was like maybe 4 age.
I didn't realize these kids are being so savage.
Yeah, and she started running away from him, and he thought she was playing a game.
Oh, wow.
And so he started chasing
oh,
her.
Oh wow, that
and
is
I
so
looked
cute.
Over at like the mum, and she was really cool, the mum, but I was just like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. But
yeah,
them things just felt really stressful.
Yeah, it's funny because I haven't had to think about like kids and coronavirus, because obviously kids spend a lot of time with each other, like touching each other, spreading germs, etc. And I haven't had to worry about that in the same way, because obviously Ty is older, so it's
he's
just
not
like
running up to random other 14-year-olds, hey, rubbing
No, but they are, because don't forget it's the secondary school kids that are also passing the virus, so they definitely are, you know, spudding each other, hugging each other, being too close next to each other, eating each other,
kissing behind the bin sheds.
Exactly. So they are responsible for the current climate mostly, and the UK government, but it's like I don't have to like tell him what is going on, because he already knows what's going on. So I guess that's how it differs. Like, he's probably already like preempt, like to be cautious, rather than me being like, oh, you know, be careful, like, you know, don't go around, like. And that's, it's annoying as well, because at least if he was younger, I would actually be able to have a bit more control over it. But he's older and just does what he wants, even though he knows better.
So yeah, no, that was quite stressful. And so things are a little better this time round, where his nursery's still open. Again, the thing with him not being very verbal at the moment, he's going through speech therapy.
Okay.
So when everything stopped, yeah, I felt a lot of pressure as a parent, and with his dad not involved as well.
Yeah.
And I was trying, I was looking online, and I was trying to conduct these
the lessons yourself. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Home. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'm his mom, and yeah, this is his house. So he might do it for 10 minutes and then he'll be like, no, like don't want to do yeah, it anymore. And I was really getting on the edge with it.
Yeah.
And then as time went on, I just thought, you know what, I can't go on like this. And I just took it easy on myself.
Yeah.
And if there was a day that I was feeling really, really stressed out,
yeah,
and I felt like he was watching too much TV, that's fine.
Yeah.
Try again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so since I've had that sort of fuck it attitude,
yeah,
I feel in a much better place, because you've got to.
You have to. You need to find that balance for your own sanity.
Yeah.
I think I also had the same shift. I think last year when the lockdown started, the first, before the Easter holidays anyway, I remember I was like staying up till like 8 o'clock, you know, doing all the homework with Ty, making sure he's doing all his schoolwork, putting so much pressure on him, and just being, do it, do it, do it, do it. And then after the Easter holidays, as we led into the summer term, I just relaxed a little bit, because it was like, he was doing his best. Like, I was trying to teach 8 different subjects. Some of this stuff, I didn't even know, like, I forgot half of this stuff, and it was just like so difficult for me to actually also do that alongside a full-time job. So I relaxed a little bit, and then he went back to school in September, whatever, had a few glitches here and there. But now I'm actually being quite hard with him, because in one sense, he's also getting older. So whereas lockdown last year, he was in year 8, you know, he went into year 9 this September. And by the time he goes back to school this year, he's going to go into year 10. Yeah. So I'm now thinking, okay, this is 3 years of learning that's kind of being interrupted.
Yeah.
So now I'm being really, really stern with him. So I wake him up like 7:30 in the morning, like get in a shower, have your breakfast. I take away his PlayStation, take away anything that's going to distract him.
Right now, does he have, like, is his teacher coming on? I mean, I know for the older kids, they're doing virtual.
Yeah, so he's got online classes on this platform called Microsoft Teams. So they just go on there. So they have, like, 5 classes a day. First one starts at 9. He joins the session.
And can all the kids, like, see each other on the screen?
They can't see each other on the screen, okay, thank God, because then they would do no work.
Yeah.
But they can see who's on the call.
Okay.
So the schools are kind of bundling them up. So I think there was one class, there was about 75 kids in the class. Nice. Yeah, honestly. And it's good, but it's also bad. So the good thing is that they get FaceTime with the teachers.
Mm.
And the teachers, like, explain the work and all of this stuff. But then the cons to it is that sometimes the kids are, like, messing about, someone's shouting in the class, doing something silly, whatever. And then the teachers only do, like, 20 minutes of, like, video, and then the kids have to do the work. So I have to put pressure on Ty that when the video is finished, you still need to do the work.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, he'll just go on his phone for the rest of the freaking 20 minutes and then go to the next one. But I still think it's good that he's getting that FaceTime. So yeah, he is doing 5 hours a week home learning, and Tig's in nursery, which is like a plus. All the moms right now are like winning.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I'm loving it. And that's why I know a lot of people are really stressed out about this lockdown, but selfishly me, I'm like, because it still gives me time to be able to do things in the house. Like, I'm doing sort of like my own work, working from home kind of stuff. I saw a really good post, like, some woman posted online Instagram the other day, and I think she was like a teacher. It was circulating around. I don't know if you saw it.
No.
I think she was like a teacher and like a parent as well. And she was just like, to parents, it's just she just wrote this message to parents, just saying,
what did,
like,
she say?
Take it easy on yourself. She was like, this is not you homeschooling your children. This is not a you know,
a choice. Yeah. Like, when parents choose to keep their kids at home.
Yeah, and she was like, it's not you failing as a parent, feeling like how other like how can other mothers do this. She was like, you're living through a worldwide pandemic. We're working from home. A lot of people have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
People are stressed.
Yeah.
There's this whole energy, like, just be easy on yourself.
Yeah, and take it easy. And I think that's important. And I think a couple of days ago, I went on a live, and I was asked a few questions around, like, you know, what are your survival tips for the lockdown?
Mm. Out of curiosity, what were some of your survival
My survival tips. Okay, so one of them, I said, get therapy. So I was like, just get, and it doesn't have to be face-to-face, because right now you can't do that. And, you know, you might not be able to get any virtual therapy, but, like, read. I read Psychology Today pretty much every day.
Yeah.
So read up, like, therapeutic methodologies, like, read books on, like, parenting. Like,
I do as well. I'm so here for it. I feel like you having said that, I want to get that printed on a t-shirt and walk around with it. Get therapy.
Honestly.
And then in brackets underneath, no, really.
No, honestly, like, get therapy. I can't say it enough.
Yeah.
And I just think as a mum, we put ourselves through so much. Mm. We're so hard on ourselves. Mm. And a lot of the things that happen, we're not always in control. So I think it's so, so important to, like, if you can access some form of therapy, whether it's through your Instagram channel, you know, whether it's through a friend, whether it's through, like, a free, like, women's community, etc., whatever you can find,
yeah,
leverage that. That's what's really helped me. The second thing was obviously just do your best. And then the third thing was just like, what was my third survival tip? Exercise. So I picked up running during the lockdown.
Yeah.
And I've loved it. Before, I used to go to the gym and just do, like, I don't know, weights, etc. But I can feel the mental benefits of running.
Yeah.
And it's free, it's cheap. You can literally do it when they're in sleep, when they're in, like, just playing with toys, like if you have somebody to watch them for 20 minutes, you can just go out and do it. So I would encourage anyone to try and, like, go out for runs, because yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. I did as well. I got into jogging a bit.
Nice.
During this, and I also got into doing, like, smoothies, like green smoothies in the morning.
What were you using?
An apple, half a banana. I had this every, I've been having it every morning for the last few months, actually, and I felt, for me, it was just energy. I was so low on energy before I went out and bought loads of, like, pills, like energy pills.
Yeah.
I thought, let me make some food changes, just get, like, up my greens even more.
Yeah.
And then spinach and kale and soya milk.
Cool. Or in a water, smoothie.
All in a smoothie, and I'll have that for my breakfast in the morning. And there was one morning I got into, like, doing a bit of jogging. There was one morning that I went for a jog, and I hadn't had time to eat my smoothie yet.
Yeah.
So I took it out with me.
Yeah.
So I was going for this jog, and I had this green smoothie, and I was like, Have I become?
That's hilarious.
I caught myself in the reflection of a car, and I was like, who the fuck?
Oh my god, you're that cow.
I'm drinking green smoothies. I'm going for a fucking jog.
I feel like that sometimes, and I think running is that you do definitely get that feeling, because you see other runners.
Yeah.
And then you give yourself, like, the silent nod, like, yeah, we're doing it.
That's one good thing about, that's what gave me the confidence to get into the jogging, actually, because I wanted to get into it before, and I'd kind of go for a jog, and I'd see other, what I'd see, proper runners.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I'd kind of stop running, I'd start walking. Yeah, they're going to know that I'm not really a runner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when I've been jogging around the area, I'm seeing like 40-something-year-old men
who
are clearly quite out of shape.
Yeah.
And they're doing it, and they're jogging. Yeah. And I think, you know what, good for you.
Yeah.
And if you can do it, I can do it.
Exactly.
And I'm seeing loads of people giving it a go.
Honestly, even in my area, like, I'm seeing loads more people going running.
Yeah.
At different times of the hour as well. You know, sometimes I'll be doing my food shopping, and I'm walking back home, and I see people running and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great. Like, it has lots of benefits, and it's free. Like, it's cheap. It's just, like, you just need the motivation. You just need to get up and go. But whilst we're talking about COVID, so obviously we're in London in our 100th lockdown.
God, yeah.
Everyone's over it. The UK government, they're just a mess. Like, I know people, like, blaming Boris. Like, I honestly don't care whose fault it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's just move on. Like, let's just get out of this world. Let's, like, do whatever we can. Let's vaccinate whoever we can and keep it going. But the one thing I did want us to talk about is the free school meals that went out. Week?
Or? Did you see the interview with the health secretary when they were on, was it Great Britain?
To be honest, I can't look at that man's face. Like,
it's ridiculous.
How
has he even still got his, I'm sure he was in a scandal recently. If you're listening to this, like, let us know. I can't remember what the exact scandal is. But he was in some sort of scandal where he hired, like, one of his friends.
Oh, really?
For a really big...
I'm not surprised, Tories. I'm not surprised at all. But, yeah, I was surprised to see the actual pictures that went around on social media of the kind of, you know, what people were given. Like, did you see the pictures?
Yeah. Really shocking. And I was like, and I know some other pictures, but do you know what? It's good. I see some pictures circulating where, like, some people have broken down actually how much money that is. So the free carrots, someone's made a picture saying, like, that was 16p.
Okay.
This is whatever. Maybe there are some families that actually have, like, are able to financially spend loads of money on shopping, and they don't know what £30 worth of shopping actually looks like in terms of them looking at it in the media.
Yeah.
But I mean, us as single parents, we know how much we can get with £30 worth of shopping.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really, really shocking to see that. But the government are saying that it's nothing to do with them actually, and that it was the contract people that
yeah,
they hired.
The people that they hired. But clearly the what someone must have looked at the items that was being sent from these contractors.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think you make a great point about the portions and what we buy.
Yeah.
Because yeah, if you shop at Marks and Spencer's, like you're gonna buy different things, it's gonna look different, it's gonna be packaged different, £30 worth of food, it's gonna be completely different in comparison to someone who shops at Tesco. But I think what would have been better, what annoyed me about the free school meals was that they gave them lunch items. So it was like an apple, like bread,
crisps. Like 4 pieces of single cheese or something.
Yeah, like
one of them.
Crisps and all of this
stuff.
A bottle
of water as well.
And I was like, why do you not just give them like food items that they can make? For example, like tortilla wraps, like actual wraps, like chicken, you know, like, I don't know, like fruit, you know, the canned fruit.
Canned fruit,
so they can make a fruit salad, like actual, like meal kits, you know, almost.
Yeah.
I think that would have made so much more sense, because what they gave them was essentially like, you know, the school trip packed lunches that you used to get in like extra packaged. And I was just like, that doesn't make any sense. You should be empowering the parents to perhaps make the food at home. So give them more ingredients.
Yeah.
So like, you know,
pasta.
Like, all of this stuff
yeah.
so that they can
rice.
Exactly, so that they can actually make lunch, and then there's more's going to be left over, they're going to eat it for more days, and it's just going to be a little bit easier. No,
what doesn't sit right with me though is actually the whole idea behind it. I'm just sort of like, what is your reason for actually not giving families £30 voucher anymore?
I saw
someone saying that apparently they were disputing that certain families were not using the money for food or using the money for
that's none of your business
things. And again, it just goes back to the whole sort of mentality and the sort of stereotypes that single parents slash even just poorer families face that you want to paint us with this brush that we can't be trusted with a £30 voucher not to spend it on drinks and cigarettes. Which is, to me, that's disgusting in itself.
It is disgusting to make those assumptions, because if there are children, and do you know what? At the same time, there are children who live in at-risk homes where, the parents may use that money to buy like alcohol and to not actually buy lunch. But you should already know that. Like, okay, so sometimes they don't always know. I don't want to be so ignorant to these things.
Yeah.
They don't always know. But at least if you were giving out the vouchers, like 70%, you can be confident that 70% of the parents who are receiving those vouchers are buying food.
Yeah.
And the other 30% or 20% or 10%, because I'd love to see these figures. I'd love to see how many people they actually are putting
I bet they
into
don't
this
even
box.
Have any figures.
Exactly. And if they were to do that, it's not good. But those kids really and truly, according to the current guidelines that the government is saying out, are in school, because they're vulnerable children.
Because they're vulnerable, yeah.
So get
the
story straight.
There's a way for you to get
the demographic. Like, get the story straight, figure it out. Like, give people vouchers. You can make them Sainsbury's vouchers.
Mm.
You can make them limited. It's like milk tokens, but I know there are shops that would accept milk tokens for anything.
Except milk tokens for wine or whatever,
exactly.
Yeah.
But then, like, just put your foot down. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. If you were so... Ty doesn't receive free school meals because I work, so I pay for his school meals.
Mm.
But if you were a parent receiving those free school meal packs, like, how, I don't know, let's try and perhaps put ourselves in their mindset. How would you feel? Or if you were ever on free schools when you were in school, I was, how would you feel receiving that? Because I think I would have just been like, this is shit. Like, this is terrible.
Yeah, it's quite shocking. But the thing is, I'm really glad that... And that's one brilliant thing about, like, the power of social media, because I think it was the pictures that started circulating on social media.
Yeah.
And then is his name Marcus Rashford?
Yeah, Marcus Rashford. Good old Rashford.
That's when he... Listen, he's the one.
He's got
the
government
guy
on lock.
he got Boris to apologise.
They are so scared
about
of him.
They are shook of him.
But at the same time, I'm like, okay, I don't want to say it. This is it. I don't want to say more like ignorant stuff. I'm sure he has. But I'm like, put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
You're a footballer.
Yeah,
like, I know he has paid. I know he has, like, put money behind something. And I guess it's not his job.
Yeah.
But, you know, if these celebrities could perhaps do something more.
If everyone chipped in. But do you know what? As a side note, I don't want to take us too off subject. That is one positive thing that I've seen. Like, when everything started coming out about the school meals and stuff and half terms, and when the government, there was the other scandal, so many of the MPs voted against allowing children to still have their free school.
Yes.
I started seeing, and like since I've had Tyag, I get so emotional. I think I was actually had a little tear when I started seeing online on Instagram. So many people share local businesses and local places that were saying, between this time and this
time,
if you're of this age, come in and do this. And I was just like, oh my God.
I know.
Because you know what? Like, you're right. Like, most of the time, the big celebrities and the big people with all the big pockets and all the big money are not coming forward. But I've seen so many people from small businesses
actually do good.
Come forward and say, let's do let's something. Help. Yeah. The community has felt in times during this really nice,
so much more sacred, and it has brought community to life. You know, you do kind of know that maybe if it's even in a family context, but like you're able, you're, because we're not going anywhere and we're not like going into different areas or whatever, the only people you're seeing and kind of liaising with are like your local community. So actually in my building, people have like left out books, you know, and I would like, you know, go to my neighbor's house and be like, if you need anything, let me know. I'll go to the shop for you. Local businesses, I'm like going to support them before I go to Sainsbury's.
Yes, I feel like that.
All of this
as well.
Stuff as well. So it has definitely brought back that sense of local community. I guess that's probably why they were so quick to do Brexit, because now they're just like, you're stuck it out. We're definitely in that community mindset now.
By force.
But obviously with the lockdown, everybody's been at home, chilling at home, watching Netflix.
Netflix and chill.
I've been watching a lot of Netflix, more than I've ever done before. Probably.
What's your top?
So I started watching Bridgerton.
I finished it.
I'm
late on the last one. I'm ahead of you on this one.
So okay, okay. Even. I've only watched 4 episodes, so to tell you where I am, I'm at the part where the Duke.
Spoiler alert.
So please turn it off now if you haven't watched Bridgerton, but you should.
Up to the fourth.
Where basically they spend their first night together after the wedding.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I'm only on there. But without like talking through all the episode and everything that happens around it, I thought the characters are interesting.
Yes, I love, because I'm an actress as well.
Okay.
So when I watch something, and Rob always laughs at me, when I watch something, I automatically look at the casting. I look at like the camera angles and the way they set shots up.
Yeah.
And so when, that's what actually attracted me to watch it, because I saw the casting, I was like, this looks good.
Interesting.
So
Bridgerton is a really good one, but I think what's really powerful about it, or one thing that I want to kind of talk through, are the parents. Because you have these young children who are being set up by their parents to like marry into these families and all of this stuff. And there's definitely two sides. There's the individual side of the kids and their experiences, but then there's also the parents and how they, you know, the kind of how they perceive what their kids are meant to do, and so on and so on. So I would love for, like, I don't know, who's your favourite parent on the show, without giving too much away?
Favourite parent? I've not.
Or what do you think? What do you think about the parents, though?
Obviously, I really like. What's her name? The one who's married to the Dutch.
Daphne.
Yeah, I mean, I like the vibe of her mum. Her mum's sort of like love, and they talk about her family a lot throughout this season, because they're like, oh, it was a love match. You know, and so she was really in love with her husband, so she's potentially had a different experience
to a lot
of the other women.
Yeah.
So like her mum gives off a nice vibe.
I like her mum.
But I read a book recently during lockdown called The Book You Wish Your Parents Had Read and Your Children Will Be Glad That You Did.
I meant to read that book. I haven't read it yet. But what did you think of it?
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff that I've taken away from it.
Okay,
obviously, as with anything, you can give and take from the book. But I love it. And there was one part in the book that I really thought so much watching Bridgerton.
Yeah.
And there's a part that she says, like, when your child is doing something that scares you,
that
is when you're most triggered to probably shout
or scream
or behave in an extreme way.
And
this was an example, like, with older children. This is not really for Tyag's age.
Yeah.
But she gave an example, like, dealing with teenagers. Rather than saying, I don't want you going out till this time, I don't want you doing this, saying, like, do you know what, I feel scared.
Yeah, yeah.
let you go out at that time.
Yeah.
And actually share that you're doing things out of fear.
Yeah.
And that it's not their fault.
Yeah.
And I just read that chapter when I started watching Bridgerton. So I had that in my mind. And when I'm watching the with these women set up their kids and basically, I don't know what word to use, but like sell off their kids at such a young age.
Yeah.
And tell them, you'll find good things in your kids.
Yeah, it'll work out.
Even not telling them anything about sex.
I know, it's so awkward. Oh my God,
that was the worst part for me. Preparing your children in the
for what is out there. And, you know, and I think that was quite obvious in, you know, without giving too much away, but you know when the first guy wanted to marry her and he was clearly abusive.
Yeah.
And you were about to just let your daughter marry this abusive guy.
Yeah. But again, so I had that part of the book in my head and all I could see from the women, from the mums on that was, I'm scared for you.
Yeah.
Women were in such a bad place back then that if you were not married, you were living on the street or you were in a whorehouse.
Yeah.
Or you were, do you know what I mean? You're up the creek without a paddle. Basically, and so that's all I saw when I watched it. I was just like, these women are terrified for their children to be unmarried is the worst thing. They'd rather their child be in an abusive relationship than just to be out there on their own. And I felt really, I think because I had that in my mind, I had a lot of compassion for the way that they were parenting
in
that moment, because I thought, thank God that we don't have to
do that.
Treat our children in that way.
Yeah, I had a similar feeling, but then I was a bit like Eloise. What I just thought was like, why do these kids have to get married? Why can they not just like do something else? Yeah. Like, why are you just restricting them?
It's so interesting because these are more like kind of rich families.
Yeah, exactly.
These are rich families. Yeah, so you think surely you guys are well off. Surely you don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to go through like, but then maybe the people that were well off, that's what they did.
Yeah.
And then can you only imagine, you know, when she took one of the girls to like the poorer end of town
to
see what they were doing there as well. So it did make me think, just like, what is the other side? Like, what are, you know, because if marriage is just the end goal,
I'd be interested to watch the second season, because I would like to see in the second season some more of like normal kind of people's lives out there.
I want to know if Eloise like breaks free. That's all I want to know. I want to know if she breaks free and if things work out in that way. But
for her.
Exactly. But I'm really enjoying it. I guess what are some of the, do you think like nowadays parent like, would you ever go back to that? Would you ever like want to have that option to like set up your child? Not necessarily in that way, but would you ever set up Tig with somebody, for example?
Do you know what? I try to really think like what kind of mum I'm going to be like when he's at that age, when he's like in his 20s.
Yeah.
Because some of my
won't change, but go ahead.
You think I'm not? Yeah, because you're a bit ahead of me. You're the same.
Your parenting style will probably remain the same. You'll adapt, because obviously when they get to a certain age, you can talk about certain things, you can do certain things differently. So you will adapt, but the way that you're raising him, unless if there are things that you want to take out of your parenting, I don't think it'll change really much.
Really?
Yeah, no. I think with me and Ty, some of the things that we installed from when he was young, so it's like, we love going out, we love doing stuff together. We still do a lot of that stuff. Mm. And because of that, he's also very like friendly. So he likes making friends, he likes being with friends, all of this stuff.
Ty's like that, so he's very sociable.
Exactly. So where I've had to adapt is obviously to make him realise like, oh, you have to be careful like who you make friends with, who you hang out with, what you do in your free time, where you're spending your time and all of these things. But we still go out, we still have a good time. So actually that side hasn't changed. Mm. I've always been really honest with him, so that hasn't changed. Mm. So I think you do adapt your parenting style based on what they're going through, where they are in life.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'll go from like A to like D.
Without changing.
Yeah, I think he'll probably just go from like A to like A plus, A minus, A, like, you know, just kind of around the same sphere. But that's just my view, so.
Yeah. I'd like to think that when Tig's older, I would let him kind of do it. Because I remember being like young and like having my first boyfriend or whatever, and my mum just being like, oh my God. Do you know what I mean? And the more that she would try to steer me away, the more I'd be like, you literally don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
so do you know what I mean? So closer. I'd like, even if Ty had a girlfriend that I didn't really like, I'd like to think that I could just be like, okay.
Let me just see what happens.
And try to trust myself as a parent and think, do you know what? I've installed those good things in him. when he gets a year or two older, he's going to realise potentially this person might not be have yeah. the best qualities.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen, isn't it? And it's it all does our kids. No matter how happen. Smart our kids,
it does
they're
going to
experiment.
Exactly. And it does happen. And I have a real life experience.
It's so
exactly.
funny because we've got Ty and Ty.
Yeah. We'll have to figure it out. But basically with my tie. Was yeah, it my tie? Tie? Your tie? With
tie
my
A,
tie.
Tie B.
I know, right? So with my
big tie,
tie. Big tie, little tie. Yeah. There you go. So Ty started liking girls, I think like around early year 8. And yeah, at first I was just like, no. That's what I was thinking. Mm. But I was like, play it cool, Winnie. Like, you know, it's not really going to amount to anything. I made sure that obviously he understood that if you get too involved, if you think you can do everything, shit's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
So just like, yeah, talk to her, be sensible. And when Ty was younger, I always used to teach him, like, I was like, the 5 things that you don't do to women. Mm. And he used to be like, don't hit, like, you know, don't touch a woman, she doesn't want to be touched. So I've kind of spent... I used to make him repeat it, literally, like the freaking Bible.
Did you?
Like his
That's
commandments.
Amazing.
Yeah, I used to be like, Ty, what are the 5 things that you don't do to women? So because of that, and because I also took the time to, like, explain to him, like, the challenges I had growing up.
Because he's 14
yeah.
now. So he is at now the same age that you were at when you had him.
Basically.
So like, is he sort of aware of that? Is he like, mum had me at this age?
Yeah. And, like, honestly...
Is that something he thinks
about now? And it's so funny because, like, you know, he'd be telling me, like, oh, I like this girl, whatever. I'd be like, Ty, like, you know, be careful with the girls, whatever. He's like... You think I'm like you? I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, we're not even thinking about that. I'm like, okay, this conversation's getting awkward.
What do you say?
I'm just like, whatever. I'm always just like, whatever, Ty. I just ignore it. But he does drop hints that, you know, he's not planning to be like me. You know, he says, like, he doesn't even want kids and all this stuff, like, not until he's older.
I used to say that, though, when I was 14.
There's nothing wrong with having kids, but just do it at the right age.
At the right age, yeah.
So when he tells me stuff like that, I'm like, hey, Ty, you shouldn't feel like you don't want kids.
Yeah.
Just wait. But their generation is different.
Mm.
It's very different to our generation. They're not, you know, they're trying to be, like... Bonnie and Clyde, you know, like Instagram, Snapchat couples, like same outfit, same hands.
Godfather is a youth worker, like one of my jobs I used to do, and he says most of the kids now, that's what they want to be. They want to be Instagram, YouTubers.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do.
Yeah, so they want to do, like, you know, to Ty right now, probably like wearing matching outfits with his girlfriend, like
doing TikTok videos,
is probably more important than starting a family or even thinking about, like, oh, we want to be together, we want to be so in love, you know? So, yeah, it hasn't really been an issue. Yeah, so based on that, I wouldn't set him up. I would definitely agree with you. I think I'd want him to experiment, meet girls, figure out what he likes, and then settle down.
Mm.
So, yeah, Bridgerton is like... It's good for entertainment, but I guess we're not taking any of the parenting
forward into our century.
2021. Anything that you want to run through? I think that can wraps up this week's episode.
Yes, and our first episode.
Together.
We'll have to come up with like a...
Yeah, we need to come up with like a jingle.
A jingle thing.
I don't know. We'll have a thing. I don't know.
I'm not going to show you now, but I do beatboxing with the kids.
No way.
So, you know, we can work on something.
I can't do beatboxing. I'm so horrible. You'll have to do it. I'll just be like, Winnie, red in the background. Yeah, we'll make it work. It's been so fun, and I can't wait for us to do our next episode.
Yes, and thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in. Follow us on Instagram at sassy_singlemoms.com and let us know if you want to appear on the show and share your story. All right, bye.
Bye.